Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our service of worship. If you're visiting with us, you're very, very welcome. Before I do the announcements, I'd like to welcome Reverend Nelson and his wife, Amos, today. And again, if you're with us before, I'm sure most of you would have heard him maybe only about a month since he was last here. And Reverend Nelson, you're very welcome to our church. And we look forward to hearing the message from the Lord God. The announcements, Living by the Sons of Youth on Wednesday at 8 p.m. in line with Emily Presbyterian Church. If you can't attend in person, prefer not to, you can attend by Zoom. The Labs, First College Group will meet on the 19th of May from 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. in Bailey Hall. All babies, preschoolers, and girls.
Fintner Presbyterian Church are running a Fit for Life throughout May on Tuesday evenings. Meetings at Fintner Presbyterian Church. Walk will begin at 7:30 and will be followed by a light supper and the talk. The details of the speakers are on your announcement sheets. Sazra prayer letter are available for collection in the vestibule. There are still some Presbyterian hurls still in the vestibule to be collected. Faith on the Farm is a weekend of events run in association with the Faith Mission Gospel Truck on a family farm in the locality from Friday the 10th to Sunday the 12th of June. Events will include 18 plus social on Friday the 10th starting at 9 p.m, men's night on Saturday the 11th starting at 7:30 p.m, family service on Sunday starting at 6 p.m. That's Sunday the 12th of June. Those are all the announcements. Just leaves for me to say to Reverend Nelson, you're in your good hands now, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for your warm words and your kind words of welcome. It's lovely to be back, and it's so lovely to be back on a day like this, where this county comes into its own. We just admire and want to take it nice and slowly on the road between the other church and here, because it's absolutely idyllic. And as we were talking out the back there, it maybe takes you to go away and come back into the area to fully appreciate just the beauty that surrounds us. I wonder whether you have doubts about the Christian message. You know, we live in an era where it's becoming increasingly maybe old-fashioned or out of date, or we're being challenged and questioned about the validity of the Christian message. And sometimes we just shrink down and shy away a little bit, and we don't have the answers. Today, I would like to hope that you will be affirmed in your faith and that some of those doubts would be dispelled. Listen to this from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is what the Apostle Paul says: "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, then to the 12, and after that to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still alive, although some have fallen asleep." Trust you'll not fall asleep today, but that's a euphemism for death, as you would know. We worship God in song, singing the hymn, praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. My guess is that's 559 in the Mission Praise Book, if you have one of those to hand.
Thank you.
Now we've praised him in song, let's bow together and offer him our prayers together. Let us all pray. Father God, in our song we acknowledge you as the living Lord and redeeming Saviour. And we thank you that we know you are with us here this very day by your Spirit. And we join our voices this day with those in other congregations across the land, but also across the world. And Father God, it's a thrilling thought to think that when our voices are silent and we are off to our beds, there'll be those picking up the song about Christ, the living Lord, even in our slumbers in other parts of the world. And Father God, we praise you that we can bow with confidence before you, knowing that we belong to a worldwide church of God, your family, your kingdom that you are building. Lord, we are fraught with issues in our day and age. Questions abound, but we gather here to proclaim you as our Lord, to proclaim you as our God, to acknowledge you as the one who has made all things and you have prepared all that is necessary to make us right with you. And so we honor you as the living, redeeming Lord, the one who came from heaven above to suffer death on a cross, to die and to rise again, and to ascend and to reign. Lord, we look forward to your return. We look forward to the completing of your work on earth and the gathering into your kingdom. And so we say, Lord, with many across the world, come, Lord Jesus, come and finish your work and be glorified and be crowned Lord of all. Father God, we acknowledge too that in our fallenness we fail to obey you, we fail to trust you, we ignore you, and we need you. And we pray that the precious blood of our Savior Jesus might be effective in each of our lives, making us right with you and preparing us to meet you face to face. Lord, should there be any even in our gathering, young or old, who are full of doubt and disillusionment about who you are, may that be dispelled this day, and may they embrace you as you are freely offered in the glorious gospel. We ask these things in Jesus' name, praying that he might be glorified. Amen. Now, picking up in God's word, we are on the subject of Thomas today, and we are reading from John's Gospel, chapter 20. You realize that this chapter has us right on the day of resurrection, and at verse 19 of chapter 20, we read, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And after this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Then at verse 24, now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand, put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Folks, that's you that's referring to. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Then a footnote that we have in this gospel, which really sums up what John is all about from the first page of his gospel. Jesus did many miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That's God's word, and we thank him for it, and we know he will add his blessing to it. Now, young folks, but everybody can listen in. I have some things in a bag, as many ministers do, and I'm going to dip down, get the things from the bag, and you're going to use your ability to work out what's going on. Okay. Here's the bag. I'll have to come down amongst you at one stage with one part of this. But I made this contraption a number of years ago when I was a technology teacher. And there are various sounds that come from this, which I hope this microphone will pick up all right. And your job is to work out what you hear, okay? Here's the clue. Animals. That's the theme. You know, you have to shout it out really loud because I'm half deaf. I probably agree with you. Yeah. Okay. Try another one. What do you think? That's a pretty good dog sound, isn't it? You'd call that a sheep? Okay. Oh, definitely a cat there. That's clear, isn't it? What do you think? Are we all agreed?
Yeah.
Okay. One more, I think, and then we'll move on. The problem with this is I can't do it twice because it goes on to the next one. That's a bit confusing, maybe. Try this one. A bird. It's a convincing bird, I would say. I think that's meant to be a pig. Okay, now here's the thing. What are you using to work that out? It's pretty easy, isn't it? Your mouth? Well, you're telling me with your mouth what it is, but don't you have to hear it first of all? So you're using your ears, and you realize you can trust your ears to work out what the sound is. Some of them are a wee bit confusing, but basically you trust your ears, what you hear, and you can say, well, I know that's a bird, or that's an animal, or that probably is a cat. And then we agree, yeah, that's what they are. Okay, so that's using your ears, and you can trust your ears. Now, I told you it's all an animal theme, and I've put this one inside a sock. And you're going to use your eyes now, because this is not making a sound, and you're not getting to touch this one. So what do you think that is? Give you a clue. Okay. Well, to tell you what country it comes from.
Oh,
you've got it. Didn't even need the country. Okay. Oh, it's a giraffe. Now, what are you using this time to work out what it is? Aren't you using your eyes? Yeah? First one was you trusted your ears. Your ears tell you what something is, and you can believe what your ears are hearing, and you can work it out. This, well, you use your eyes, and you know by the shape. Well, he told us this was animals, so what do we know? It could have been a heron, of course. But, yes, it's a giraffe stuck in the ear. Okay, I have a collection of these, and that's the tallest out of the set, a giraffe that came from Malawi, right? With a few different countries involved. So you trust your eyes with that one. You trust your ears with the other one. The next one's the one I have to come down amongst you. So if you're listening to this service, I'm about to leave the pulpit, walk down and let someone handle a bag with something in it to work out what it is. Okay, this time you don't get to listen and you don't get to look. You just have to use your hands. Okay? So you have first guess. Just hands around the outside of it. No, you can't do it. What do you think? You're a bullfrog. You don't know. It feels a bit like them. It feels like an egg. Okay? The other thing is we're doing here is we're sort of getting agreement. Did you notice that? With the listening things, we're getting an agreement as to, well, we're all saying the same thing. Are you saying the same thing? You think it's an egg? Yeah? This wee fella here wants to know what it is or what it is. Use your two hands, that's okay. It's an egg. Okay, every hands up, all of you think it was an egg. Okay, now, seeing is believing. But you can trust your hands, what you touch, and it's an egg. Were any of you ever ostrich farmers? That's an ostrich egg from somebody that I used to teach. They had to go at ostrich farming. It didn't catch on for some reason. Some of you maybe know why. So if you want to think about how hard that is, afterwards, like so. But the lesson, folks, I better go to the microphone for the sake of the recording and all the rest of it. First thing that we learned there was we can trust what we hear, okay, and we can work out what's true, what's right according to what we hear. And the second was what we see, we can trust and work out what it is through what we see using our eyes. And then what we feel, what we touch, we can work out what it is and have a good guess anyway. And the other wee thing that I teased out there is we're agreeing together on what's right and what's true, okay. I'm going to read you a verse. Here's what John says. We read from John. John also writes a little letter, and he says this. That which we was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, we proclaim this to you. And what's he talking about? He's talking about Jesus. That he and others were able to hear, to see, to touch the very person of Jesus and knew the message and therefore were telling it to others. So lots of them agreed, this is what who Jesus is, this is what happened to Jesus, and this is the message of Jesus. And that's what we're telling, and we are still telling it today. Now, from all of that, we learn that we can trust what we hear, we can trust what we see, we can trust what we touch, and we can trust what they have told us, they have heard, they have seen, they have touched, that it's true. Now, we said at the beginning we're talking about doubts today. And is it all true? Is the Christian message true? Did Jesus really come? Did he rise again from the dead? Did he really ascend into heaven? Is it all true, or did somebody just make all of that up? Folks, these folks used their wits and their senses to know that it was true. And boys and girls and young people, you can know it's true. Just as clear as it was that was a cat, or that was a giraffe, or that was an egg, you can look at the facts. When in doubt, check it out. And the facts check out. Now here's another thing in the bag. This is the fourth thing. And this is linked to what John has said there. I'm going to tell you what's in this bag, and then I want you to think why you believe me. Okay? Inside that bag, there's a cuddly tiger. Do you believe me? You're nodding your head. You don't believe me. They said in the other church, we would have to believe you because you're a Presbyterian minister, and they always tell the truth. Well, at least we're meant to. Would I have any reason to tell you there's a tiger in this bag when there isn't a tiger in this bag? When I had a giraffe in a sock, and I had noises on a wee box, and I had an egg in a bag, have I any reason to tell you something that's wrong? I hope you're saying to yourself, no, he wouldn't have any reason to tell us what is wrong. He's a nice person, and he's been here before, and he's, you know, well, forgive him for being a Presbyterian minister, but he'll not tell us a lie. And I'm proclaiming to you that I have seen, I have heard, I have handled my not-so-happy tiger. And there's no reason to tell you anything other than there's a tiger in the bag because he was there. And John has no reason to tell us any lies either, because Jesus really did come. And he really did come alive. And he really did ascend into heaven. And he really died for our sins. And that's the message of the gospel. And we've no reason to doubt it. Because these guys checked it out. And even Thomas, as we learn a wee bit further, he checked it out a bit more than we realize. Okay. That's the lesson. Hope you remember. If in doubt, check it out. Use your wits. There's plenty of stuff there. To convince you, they weren't bluffing. It really is real. Now let's have a prayer. God would write that in our hearts, and then we'll sing our next hymn. Lord, we thank you that you haven't left us without a witness and without information and the record that's there in the scriptures to tell us what people saw and heard and knew about you. And we pray from the youngest to the oldest that you'd enable us to embrace and to trust and to take Jesus for who he is, take him as our Saviour, and to know him, love him and follow him, and know that he forgives sins and prepares places for those who know him. Thank you for that truth. Bless us this day in Jesus' name. Now our hymn, Father, We Adore You. I take it that's Lay Our Lives Before You, How We Love You. That particular egg and its sister, brother, its fellow egg, have done many rounds and visited many places. But I gave the other one up because, believe it or not, the primary school that I attended had a fire and vandalism and theft. And they had an ostrich egg. and it was taken. And I sent one of the eggs that I had off to the primary school. And then several weeks later, there was this lovely letter come back written by the children to thank me for the replacement of something that they treasured. It's just an interesting thing to have, an ostrich egg, because this is Northern Ireland and they're not so common. Sure they're not. Let's have a time of prayer together, and let's bring, in a moment of silence, you bring your prayers, realizing there's other people around praying as well. Bring your prayers, your petitions, your concerns before the one who knows your needs and answers, hears prayers and answers prayers. Let's all pray. Lord, we each come from different walks of life, different situations, different contexts. And in these quiet moments, we bring our own burdens to you. For our own hurts and fears, health issues. Lord, for the turmoil that we have around us, anxious about others, anxious about our land and the politics and all of these things. And then when we look across the world at the news of Ukraine and terrible tragedy going on there and other conflicts that we so easily forget that have been ongoing for decades, Lord, we pray for these various difficult needs, that you would remember the sorrowful, that you'd remember the hurting, that, Lord, you would remember in your mercy those caught up in these traumas and difficulties. And we pray, Lord, for governance in our own land here, with all the change that seems to be afoot and all the uncertainty. Pray, Lord, for businesses and farms alike, with decisions and paperwork, regulations, so many things, Lord, that can bring people down. And we pray, Lord, for our families, some of them not interested in coming near a church, some of them rather doing different things, anything, but seek out the worship of God on a day like this. Lord, we gather all of these petitions up and we bring them to you, to your throne of grace, knowing that Jesus is there as our great high priest, our mediator, bearing not only the marks in his body of his price paid for our sins, but bearing up prayers and petitions before our throne of grace. We pray, O Lord, that you might answer and respond according to what is right, according to what is best, according to what is your will. And we ask, Lord, for this congregation and its life and its witness and its future in this area, that you would bless. Bless their minister. Bless him as he looks after a vacancy, and may that progress in your plan. And we pray, Lord, that we might have cause to rejoice in seeing what you are doing in our time. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we return to the subject of Thomas and onto this idea of alleviating our doubts. Now, Thomas gets that reputation of being Doubting Thomas, doesn't he? That's how we're brought up to learn about him in our Sunday school. So I'm putting a challenge to that and saying, well, is Thomas just to be remembered for that, or is he actually helpful? And in my view, I would say personally a thank you to Thomas, because I feel Thomas speaks for me. I feel Thomas is a mouthpiece or a spokesman that asks the questions that need to be asked. And you'll see that as we tease this on in our service. So is he just to be known for doubtfulness? Ah, no. He's actually should be known for helpfulness. Now picture the scene. the upper room, just post-resurrection, these disciples, like, they're ordinary people, they're very confused, they're very disillusioned, fearful of what's going on around them, fearful for their own lives. Judas is gone, Thomas is absent, they're there in the room, probably the 11, plus the women, plus the crowd that were the close followers, and the room's closed, and Jesus appears. Now, can you imagine the whispers and the conversations around that room? The nudging and the winking and the, you know, look what's just happened. Look who's just come in. How did he get in? And those questions, what are we seeing? What are we witnessing? And they have the living Lord Jesus in their presence. But Thomas isn't there. And we read that. So in verse 25, so the other disciples told Thomas and they said, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hands into his side, I will not believe it. Now, put yourself in Thomas's position. Would you have believed them? Or would you have said, I need to see it for myself? You'd probably say, I need to see it for myself, wouldn't you? But Thomas speaks up and he says, I want to see, I want to know, I want to be sure. And because we can't be there and Thomas can, that's why I say Thomas is our spokesperson, because we are asking that natural question. We want to see it for ourselves. We want to know. Now, Thomas, being the questioner, asks questions in other places. That's recorded. John is good at giving us a lead-in to say, here's Thomas asking again. The familiar passage in John 14, which you would know quite well, I'm sure, where Jesus has the disciples before his death in the upper room, and he says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I'm going to prepare a place for you, I'm coming again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And Thomas says, excuse me a wee minute, Lord. I'm putting it in the Northern Ireland way. We don't know where you're going. And we don't know the way. How are we meant to know? In other words, Lord, you're saying all this, and I don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me. And then Jesus uses words that we know and see often to explain to Thomas. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And Thomas is told in that situation by Jesus, if you get me, if you understand me, my life, my death, my resurrection, and who I am and what I've come for, then you'll know the truth. You'll know what it's all about. So Thomas is that person who's in the group, who's the one who asked the question that the others either didn't think to ask, or they're saying, I wish somebody would ask him what he's talking about because I don't get it. And maybe you've been there too, in a Bible study, in a class in school, and somewhere where you've wished somebody would ask something because you would want to know, but you're too nervous or too afraid to ask in case you look stupid. Thomas, thankfully, like our spokesman, our person, our ordinary person who just blurts it out and said, I don't know what you're talking about. Can you explain? And so it is with the resurrection issue. The disciples have seen, they've told, and Thomas says, look, I'm not taking it in. I'm not taking it in face values because you've said it. I want to know for myself. And he's asking what you and I would naturally ask if we were there too. So do you see that? Thomas now is serving a purpose. He's working for us. And John records this in this way so that we see that, well, because we can't be there and he can and they can, then he's acting and they're acting on our behalf to help us overcome doubts about the truth of what it all is. Now, there's a few things that you maybe wouldn't have thought about with Thomas that are actually confirmed here. And the first one, you might say, well, I would never have thought of that. Thomas's question and the disciples' reaction actually confirms that Jesus died. And it confirms their expectation that dead people don't come back to life. And that's essential because if we're going to talk about resurrection and confidence about resurrection, well, you've got to be sure that there actually was somebody dead in order to be raised. And Thomas, and this account, helps us even with that. They did not expect Jesus to rise because tortured, crucified people didn't do that. So if there's death and a real dead Jesus, then affirming that there's a resurrected Jesus is a pretty special thing. Do you see that? Thomas serves a purpose by teasing this out, and it personalizes the account to us. A group of disciples who say Jesus is alive, okay, but Thomas is personally there asking the questions, how do we really know this is true? Because dead people don't rise from the grave. And here he is, or at least they're saying he's here. So on we go. The second thing that we've said is that Thomas's question shows that their expectation is across the board. Dead people don't come back. So therefore, resurrection is not what we would really have expected. Despite the fact that they'd had a wee example of resurrection in the case of Lazarus, some days, it would seem, earlier. So what about the death of Jesus? What more can we say about that? Well, the torture system was real, and it was pretty public. So Jesus was crucified by professional executioners, so he died. And what's more, he was buried. And women came along to anoint a body which needed anointing, because you don't anoint living people, you anoint dead people. And then, because there was talk of a possible resurrection, didn't they put guards around the tomb to make sure the body wasn't stolen to bluff that there was a resurrection? So add all of that together. In the Gospels, what we have are accounts that there was definitely a death, and then there are now accounts that there's definitely a resurrection. Now, Thomas takes us a bit further into that, because what also does Thomas affirm to us? Okay, the disciples are there as a group, and Thomas is absent, and Jesus appears. Thomas says, I won't believe it unless I see it and I hear it. And he goes further, I want to touch him. You notice that? Thomas is the one who says, I want to put my finger in the nail prints. I want to touch the wounds in his side. And then I'll know something more than what the disciples know. What's the extra bit? The other disciples, it seems, didn't think to ask, is this a body that is in the room with us? But Thomas thinks to ask that. Thomas thinks to investigate that. Is this really a living body in the room? Otherwise, the message might have went on from there, that there's an apparition of Jesus appeared, or there's a resurrected spirit of Jesus appeared, or a ghostly figure of Jesus appeared with marks in his hands and his side and so on. Thomas takes us further into the understanding of resurrection, that it actually was a resurrected body. And that's what he's asking to make sure of. Unless I see and unless I touch. Now, if we go on into the Gospels and look further, you will see that there are other examples of how they know it's a living body, not just a spirit. Jesus eats. Jesus breaks bread. Jesus is there lighting fires by the seaside. They get to touch and handle the living Christ. So Jesus is there. Jesus is there in body. And Thomas's question substantiates their witness of what they've seen, but it takes us a step further to show us that they saw a resurrected body. Now, why is that important? That's so important because the skeptical person will say, the spirit of Jesus lives on. Jesus' example lives on. Jesus was a good role model, and that role model idea lives on. Folks, the living Lord Jesus lives on. He is a person who rose from the grave, and Thomas helps knock the doubts about that on the head. And Thomas gives us a pointer towards what is our hope, that we too can be raised from the dead. Well, you know, but dead bodies don't rise. Isn't there a churchyard here? I've forgotten whether there's a burying ground. Dead bodies don't rise, sure they don't. But the gospel tells it on the last day, the graves will open, the dead in Christ will rise first. We who are alive will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. When the Lord returns, dead bodies will rise, and we will rise to meet him. And you will know your loved ones. You will have a renewed body with no arthritis. Happy days. You'll have a renewed body with no cancer. Happy days. But you'll be resurrected to be with the living, resurrected Jesus forever, if you know and love him and are with him. So the gospel message about Thomas, doubting Thomas, is actually helpful Thomas, because he affirms to us bodily resurrection. And the Apostle Paul adds to that in his chapter in 1 Corinthians 15 as well, which we a lengthy chapter about the evidence of Jesus' resurrection, about the hope that is within that for us, that if there's no resurrection of the dead, well, the gospel message falls flat. You only have a wee bit of hope for this life in following a good guru, following a good example, following a good role model, and then you die and that's it. But with Thomas and these other disciples who witness a resurrected body, then it gives us concrete hope beyond a shadow of a doubt that we will be resurrected too. As a Christian minister, I've stood at gravesides, I've pronounced the committal more than once, and it's a tremendous thing to be able to pronounce at a grave, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law that convinces us of our sin. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And dead people will rise because Jesus rose bodily. And we will meet the Lord, and we'll either be glad about that or we'll be mighty sad, because he's coming to prepare a place only for those who know him. So Thomas, what have we got? We've got a person who questions and is the spokesperson that acts for us. And John then adds to that with his explanation, that wee footnote that I read, to say, these things are written that you may believe. This wee story, this wee account about Thomas, that I'm adding that in before I say this. I'm adding that in so that you know that Jesus really lived, really died, really rose again bodily, that you might believe in him and that you might have life in his name, because that's what he came to offer. And that's the purpose of the gospel writing, to tell you that. And like I teased out earlier with my tiger in the bag, have they any reason to tell you a lie? They all laid down their lives believing the truth. They all laid down their lives because beyond a shadow of a doubt, they witnessed the living Christ in his body. He appeared, as Paul says, to the ones in the upper room, the 12, because there was a substitute for Judas, remember. He appeared to 500 at one time. The women witnessed his presence at the grave, in the garden. And Paul witnessed him as the living Christ, as he persecuted Christians and was out to wipe them out and wipe this message out. And he met Jesus for himself. How about you? Have you met Jesus for yourself? Have the doubts been dispelled whereby you've embraced him and you've said there's no other message like this, there's no other religion like this that speaks of a living person who rose from the grave and who promises to come again and take me to himself, that's something worth embracing. And those early disciples embraced it. Do you know how Thomas met his end? Thomas believed this, and he went on to proclaim it because he believed with all his heart. And church history and tradition tells us he went all the way to India and South India and would have proclaimed, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the only way. These other religions, they're false. These idols, they won't cause you any resurrection. And they speared him to death. And all of those disciples, all of those witnesses met their end proclaiming this truth because they believed it to be true. Folks, we are inundated with things that would cause us to doubt. We need to be reminded constantly that the gospel is the gospel, that Jesus Christ did come into the world to save sinners. That was his purpose, that he did suffer on that cross for you and for me, that he did rise again bodily from the grave to live in us by his Spirit and to resurrect us to be with him. And his kingdom then will be complete. So I urge you to respond as Thomas did. Stop doubting and believe, says Jesus. And Thomas says, my Lord, my God, you are for real, and I worship you. So be assured, folks. Be confident. Don't be misled. If you have doubts, check it out. These things stand up to the scrutiny of God's word. They stand up to the scrutiny of the testimony of God's people who have said Jesus Christ rose from the grave and he's coming again, and we need to be ready to meet him. May God bless you and encourage you with these things, and indeed challenge you. Let's pray together before we sing a good rising hymn to conclude. Father God, we thank you that you have given us all of this, that your gospel writers have filled these things with words that are meant to dispel our doubts, that they have touched, they have heard, they've handled, they've seen, and they proclaim to us, and it's been passed down, that Jesus Christ is the living Lord. Enable us, Lord, by your Spirit, to have him, to hold him, to know him, and to be ready for his coming. Amen. We sing what is dubbed as the BB hymn, Will Your Anchor Hold in the Storms of Life? Are you anchored in the truth that this message proclaims? If you are, then you'll survive. You'll get through to the end, and you'll be with Christ forever. Let's sing it to his praise. shall we join our voices together and say the words of the grace, remembering that at the end of the day, it is all about God's grace. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.